are yours.
Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Back in the 17th century, there was a monk named Brother Lawrence. He wrote a little book titled The Practice of the Presence of God. In that book, Brother Lawrence says, "The practice of the presence of God is to find joy in his divine company and to make it a habit of life, speaking humbly and conversing lovingly with him at all times, every moment." As I said, today we begin the season of Advent, and I'd suggest that it would be a wonderful goal for us this year to know the presence in our lives as we've never known it before. When the work and the challenges of the day are staring you in the face, wouldn't a sense of God's presence improve your attitude? Or when you're going through times of suffering, wouldn't a sense of the presence of God help you to remain strong and hopeful? So this year, our goal is to grow in the knowledge of God's presence that comes from hearing more about his advents, his comings to you. I think Advent can easily be trivialized as something simply leading to the celebration of the birth of baby Jesus. But after you've put away the decorations and are going through those challenging times of life, is the image of little baby Jesus in a manger a strong enough picture of him who is for you a very present help in time of trouble? You see, from the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelation, the Bible is a book of Advents. And the Bible is our book, not the world's, not some dusty book in libraries or archives, not something only in the scholar's study. The Bible is the living word of God for his people, and in it, the Spirit assures us that Jesus continues to come to us, is present with us, leading you and me into a wonderful future. It may come as a surprise, but the Old Testament is actually a great source for deepening our sense of Jesus coming to us. Now, we don't typically think of Jesus when we hear the words Old Testament. We know that Jesus doesn't show up until what we call the New Testament. Someone suggested that we may have a green room Jesus. The green room. Does anybody know what a green room is? It's a room that's all painted green, right? The green room is a waiting room in TV studios. If you're going to go on camera to perform or to be interviewed, you wait in the green room. Probably have snacks for you, things to keep you occupied so you're not too bored. And then when your time comes, you go out, you do your thing in front of the camera, and then you go back and you relax in the green room. I suspect that many Christians think of the Old Testament like that. Jesus was just hanging out, chilling, waiting to be born, and then he came and did all the things we read in the Gospels. But now that he's ascended, he's not really here with us. He's simply back in the green room, just waiting around until he appears at the end of the world. But that's not the way it is. The Bible, our book of Advents, shows that Jesus was already coming to his people in the Old Testament. In the gospel reading this morning, Jesus literally tells us that he was already there. Jesus is talking with some Jews who were very proud that they were descendants of Abraham. So Jesus told them, "I speak of what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And they answered him, "Abraham is our father. We have one father, even God." And Jesus responded, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." And they continued to argue with Jesus, but he didn't back off, saying, "Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, you're not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was saying that he was personally present with Abraham. In fact, when Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, he wasn't just saying he was present there with the Father, but that he himself is God. When Jesus used the phrase, I am, he was identifying himself as the same one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Those who were listening to him knew that, and that's why they were going to stone him. In John chapter 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is purposely doing something with the very first sentence in his gospel. He's purposely taking us back to the beginning of the Bible, back to the book of Genesis, where we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how did God create everything? With his word, as he spoke all things into existence. John is saying, and says literally in verse 14 of his first of the first chapter of his book, is that Jesus is that word that was there at the very beginning of time with God, now made flesh among us. Already in the first three verses of Genesis, we have the Father, the Son, the Word, before he became flesh, and the Spirit hovering over the deep. And that's why Jesus can pray in John chapter 17, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus wasn't in some green room in the Old Testament. He was and is right in the center of all things. I don't know, you may remember a time when Moses asks the Lord to show him his glory. And how did God respond? You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Because of sin, we can't be in the presence of the holy God. So God sends his word, his son, to communicate with his people. And we see this clearly in the New Testament in the person of Jesus, but God did the same thing in the Old Testament. It was God, the Son, who came with a surprising birth announcement to Abraham and Sarah. We heard a portion of that in our first reading this morning from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord, I am, said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. That passage. The passage says, the Lord said to Abraham. And who is the Lord? Was that just God the Father while Jesus was off having snacks in some waiting room somewhere? And the Holy Spirit was waiting even longer for the day of Pentecost? No. Jesus was there in this advent to Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. The Bible is clear that the true God is the triune God. Three persons in one God. All three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are involved in our salvation. Already in eternity, God had determined that the blessing of salvation of the world would come through the offspring of Abraham. But there was a problem. If Abraham's line was to bless all nations, Abraham and Sarah needed to have a child. Abraham was already 75 years old when God gave him this promise. And Sarah was 65. Childbearing would be a little difficult. So we jump ahead to Genesis 18, another advent to Abraham, the one that we heard earlier this morning. And the Lord, again, literally, I am, appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. 25 years have passed since that first promise to him. Abraham is now 100, and Sarah, 90. And having a child now was completely out of the question. It would take a miracle. We discover later that two of these men were angels who the Lord would send to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, but the words, "the Lord appeared to Abraham," make it clear that God was there. And when he speaks, it's in the plural. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." And the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah and Abraham get their birth announcements. God's saying, "Sarah and Abraham, get your birth announcements printed. Before Abraham was, I am." And so then Isaac was born. The birth announcements kept coming for centuries. Birth announcements, all leading to the Son of God who would take on our human flesh in the birth of our Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus in Bethlehem. That first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, it's not read very often. It's not something you'd probably pick up and say, "I think I'm just going to read the first chapter of Matthew because it's so exciting and so wonderful." It's a genealogy. But it reveals a lot. It begins this way: "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And then he begins, "Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob." And on it goes through the centuries of people. And then comes the climax: "And Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ." This genealogy of birth announcements has a very personal aim. You. Peter says that this eternal Son of God was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest, was revealed in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God. This saving history has been coming straight to you to bring you a living hope for each day. Isaac was born. Jesus was born. And you have been born to a living hope. How did that happen? Through another advent, another coming. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. On the day of your baptism, God advented. Jesus came to you. In those baptismal waters, the Word who was made flesh came to you, and you were born again to a hope that lives through each day, lives until that day you're finally with God in heaven. God had you in mind in all of his advents, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. So my prayer this year in Advent, I pray that this book of Advents will encourage you as we look a little more closely at the Advents of God, as we look at the ways he came and still comes into your life. That book, the book of Advents, teaches us that Jesus wasn't in some green room in the Old Testament, and he's definitely not in a green room now. Advent after Advent after Advent, birth announcement after birth announcement, God came, and he continues to come to you today. Amen.